X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you today by TwinSpires Online Sportsbook Racing and Casino. Download the TwinSpires Sportsbook app today and new users can enjoy 7 days of risk-free betting up to $1,000 using the promo code FREE1000. Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen and Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming from the Radio Bunker. Join us on the horn right now, covering the world of sports, especially the NBA and boxing over at 538. Our good buddy, Josh Planos. You can find him on Twitter at JPlanos. Josh, my friend, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time to join us. How are you, my man? Long time no talk. Hopefully all is well.
I'm good, Bellino. I'm good. Nothing bad to report over here. Just, getting ready for the summer, trying to get the yard in shape like so many folks out there, but yeah, it's great to have sports events back. I mean, this weekend we've got a 70,000 fan event scheduled, so it's nice to get closer to something resembling normal.
Yeah, it's a man. There's a lot going on. You're talking about the yard. Congratulations is in order as well, as you've joined the married club. That's right, Josh Planos is now married. He's off the market, ladies. Sorry about your luck. Ryan in the studio, he is married. That means just Dan and I are the only single ones left here on this program this morning. So that's okay. We're working through it, Dan. We're going to be okay. But Josh, the NBA, we'll get to the boxing event this weekend too. Canelo is fighting a guy named Billy Joe Saunders, who a lot of folks don't know a whole lot about, but it should be a great fight. Saunders entering the ring undefeated at 30-0, but we'll get to that here in a minute. First, let's talk a little association. A big debate across the country right now and on all terms of social media and networks is who should be the most valuable player of the year in the NBA. A lot of people are saying Nikola Jokic, because the numbers he is putting up right now in Denver are simply fantastic, and he is the catalyst that really makes them go. Other people are saying Chris Paul. Now, I was never really on the Chris Paul bandwagon until he got to Phoenix. He's always been a great point guard, but maybe the bubble was probably a good point for me to start, just because you could see how Chris Paul's effect on OKC, what that meant to that franchise and to all those young players and the success that they had. Then he goes to Phoenix, and I've always said that DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, pardon me, those two just needed a vet to teach them how to win, because they had all the talent in the world. And then, boom, here comes Chris Paul. And now look at the Phoenix Suns. Like, it's pretty incredible. Do you have a front runner for the MVP? And if not either one of those guys, who would it be in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to win. There's no doubt about it. He is the best player on the best team. So, you can kind of, book that away. One of the best teams, I should say. Chris Paul, I think, is the player, though, who has made his teammates better when compared to every other NBA player in the league. I think he's just gone above and beyond. He's the consummate winner. And the ultimate irony is that he's a proven winner, and yet he has never won at all. And maybe this will be the year where things change. Obviously, last year in the bubble, it looked like Phoenix was, maybe in shape for a much better season, much better turnaround this year. And then, of course, he got there, and I don't think anybody thought that they would be, second in the West right now. But he certainly had an enormous impact, especially on the younger guys. But not even just like the super young guys, right? Like Cam Payne. I mean, I don't think people thought that he would be in the league, and yet I would say probably a great deal of credit to Chris Paul for the impact he's had on him. So, Jokic has been incredible, and he's obviously going to have like an astronomical usage rate moving forward because Murray is gone for the year, unfortunately. But he's been phenomenal. He's been so durable, and really, it's been a while since we've had somebody kind of go all 82 games with that kind of workload, and I think that's to be cherished and respected. So, good on him. And hopefully, them and Phoenix, Denver and Phoenix can make a deep postseason run.
Is it bad for the NBA if it becomes a Denver or Phoenix final? We miss out on the Clippers. We miss out on the Lakers. God, I wish, that Damian Lillard, like I'm actually wishing God at this point that he would help Damian Lillard and the Blazers, because I want to see Dame Lillard win something. But is it bad for the league if it ends up being a dark horse this year like Milwaukee, who a lot of folks haven't talked about after all the hype that they got in last year. You know, everybody thought that Milwaukee was going to be Giannis's turn. They sit in the third seed right now behind the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers, only three games separating the three of those teams. It's been a very tight race, but does the league lose if it ends up being a team like Denver or Phoenix against a team like Milwaukee?
If you're Adam Silver, yeah. I mean, I think his worst case scenario is probably Milwaukee and Utah ending up in the finals. Just in terms of sheer market size and ratings, that would be disastrous. I think it would be great for the league in terms of equity and in terms of parity. I think that would be awesome to get some new faces. I mean, I'm going to tune into the NBA Finals regardless of who's playing, just like I know you will, just like I know many of your listeners will. But for the lay sports fan who's maybe on the fence about tuning in, now that we hopefully won't have a bubble situation, for the first time in what seems like forever, to see Milwaukee and a Denver or a Phoenix or a Utah. I mean, literally the top three seeds in the West right now, I think would be disaster zone for Adam Silver. I think they would probably be pumping out, even more of that NFT content than they're probably about to, because they would take a huge ratings hit and lose out on a ton of money. But, for someone like me, I'm super excited to see some new faces and some new teams kind of get that limelight. And I think it's good for the game overall.
You know, I'm right there with you. I do think that it's great for the game. Obviously, having Philadelphia and Brooklyn, those markets involved in Philly, the Sixers. We've been talking a lot about the process here on this program because, Philadelphia went about the process, which was basically openly tanking to try to get top picks. And it hasn't resulted in a championship. And then you can go back to when they were really close and Kawhi Leonard hits that shot that bounced on the rim 15 times before Toronto goes to the finals and ends up becoming the champions that year. But it's been very interesting to look at how Philly assembled their team versus a team like Detroit, who has gone, the injury list is packed and they know that they don't want to be winning games, from a fan standpoint, because we're hunting for the ping pong balls, right? But they've done it in a way in which they're playing all of their rookies and they play a really exciting, hardworking brand of basketball that has, I think, most of Detroit really on board with what they're doing here, because it doesn't feel like they're openly tanking. It's like, hey, we're going to start all our young guys tonight and let's roll it out there and see what happens. You could tell that, with the way that they carry leads in the second and third quarter and just kind of lose it there at the end, that they just aren't there yet, but it's okay because our fan base seems to realize what is actually taking place.
No, absolutely. I'm a Bulls fan, and I can tell you that it really sucks when your team goes all in on the playoffs and then can't even do that. So it's nice to either be in the driver's seat or be in the rear, kind of just playing with house money. And it seems like that's what Detroit's doing, right? They're trotting out these kind of makeshift lineups. None of these guys seem to really know, what it's like to be, longstanding NBA players, because they're all so young. And yet you've got guys like Sadiq Bey and Diallo, these guys who are really taking, huge leaps forward. And also, you need to have those on-court reps if you're going to be, successful down the road. You don't just magically get plopped onto the court and, learn what it's like to be an NBA player. You need to have, those trials and tribulations. And really, you need to have a fun environment in which you can fail without, being nervous about it, really. I mean, the expectations are so low there. And yet, there are so many teams who are jockeying for like that last ditch playoff spot who are probably miserable. Those are like veteran laden teams who can't even get to the postseason. So I think Detroit's in a really nice spot. Sorry to wax poetic about the Bulls. It really has been a frustrating season as a fan of theirs. But yeah, there's a lot of room for growth and a lot of things to be excited about if you're a team like Detroit. And honestly, overall this season, I think it's been really nice that you can tie it to the play-in tournament. You can tie it to any number of things, but it really hasn't felt like teams have been openly throwing, games this year in the way that maybe was the case in previous years. So credit to the league ownership for changing the protocols on the draft. With the exception of the Thunder, it really has not seemed like any team has been outlandishly trying to blow games this season.
I'm sorry about your Bulls, too. I mean, Coby White, very promising point guard. Zach LaVine, obviously, he's got all the bounce in the world. They added Daniel Tice. They get the trade, and Vuk comes into town. And it's like, how in the hell did that happen? I can't figure it out. But you had mentioned the word parity a little bit earlier there. We mentioned Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee at the top of the East. And there's a five-game gap between Milwaukee and New York. And Julius Randle's playing his hind end off, but he's playing for a contract. So I get that. Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks, they've been a little bit of a surprise at the five seed. Boston Celtics, they've been a massive disappointment at the six seed. And Boston fans got to be scratching their head going, what in the world have we done? And then you have Miami at seven, but they started the season off just absolutely brutal. The Charlotte Hornets, who lost out on their rookie selection in LaMelo Ball for a little bit of time with his wrist injury, but he's back in action. They're a lot of fun to watch. The Indiana Pacers have, you know, assistant coaches getting suspended and players getting fined because they're a basket case. And then the Washington Wizards, who I literally said on these airwaves, I'd rather be the Pistons than the Wizards. They are that team that's right there, veteran laden, huge contract money on the books, sitting in a 10 seed right now, six games under 500. So we have all these teams in the East. The West is stacked, we know that. But when it comes down to parity and talent being dispersed throughout the league, I feel like I've been saying this for a couple of years, and I feel like now we can finally see it. It's the fact that there's now more talent dispersed across the league that makes the league more competitive on a nightly basis, which I think is a win, especially when you have a team like Golden State, for example, fighting for their lives, you know, at an even 500, 33-33 in the West, sitting in ninth place.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I know that a lot of people bemoan the play-in tournament, some sort of like freak show or side act or throw-in. And for me, I mean, this whole thing's about entertainment, right? There's a reason why I don't want officials to huddle within the last 90 seconds of the game after every single possession, even if it ultimately results in them getting the right call. I truly would rather I would rather have the entertainment value of a free-flowing game. Similarly, I'm excited about a play-in tournament in which chaos is introduced. I know that that might be frustrating if you're a player. Of course, they have a different perspective than I as a fan, but all I really care about is my experience as a fan, and I'm comfortable saying it. I think that it's been a lot of fun this season. You know, we could have a team that, as you mentioned, sub 500 get into the NBA playoffs. Not that that hasn't happened before. Obviously, the East has gotten very used to things like that happening, but it's going to be exciting, and it's going to introduce chaos, and it's going to introduce all these variables that we haven't really needed to consider. And honestly, it does seem like the teams are, for lack of a better phrase, you know, trying harder on the court because they have more of an opportunity to get into the postseason.
And then you have those teams that are like 6, 7, and 8 that are trying harder now because they don't want to be in that play-in tournament. So they're jockeying for position. And there comes LeBron James. I've been on LeBron. I've been on him a lot because I do not understand. You know, last year going into the bubble for the Mickey Mouse Trophy, there was, you know, he liked it and he talked about the play-in tournament being a nice little wrinkle in the NBA, being ahead of the game and trying to you know, change for the fans and entertainment, all this, that, and the third. Now, all of a sudden, he wants whoever, you know, started that bleep to be fired. And I was like, wait a minute, LeBron, this doesn't fit the narrative that you tried to preach to us before the bubble when your team didn't have to compete in it. Now the Lakers are sitting there, you know, just a half game ahead of the Portland Trailblazers. LeBron might miss a couple of games this weekend. I don't know, man. What do you think of there about LeBron's comments and the fact that he has gone full like turncoat and or heel here about this play-in tournament?
It's funny how that works, right? Context is really important there. Sprained ankle will really change your perspective rather quickly. I remember spraining my ankle once when I was in high school playing tennis and feeling like, man, the world was really out to get me for those 2 weeks in which that was, you know, even just the most minor of hiccups. But yeah, it's incredible. You know, what a turncoat he has become, given, as you mentioned, we've got the clips to prove it. You know, the guy was a proponent of this system, and then the minute it became a problem for his Lakers, it suddenly was the world's worst idea and suddenly was a fireable offense. That's kind of what happens when you finally get injured. I'm not saying that, you know, LeBron's indestructible streak is up, but I mean, the commentary on LeBron was like, can you believe this guy's played so many minutes and this guy never seems to get injured? And isn't this, you know, remarkable that this guy never seems to have any sort of, you know, slight hiccup? And then now you're seeing a lot of hiccups, right? You've got Anthony Davis, who's like, you know, kind of always got hiccups. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder is, you know, out with COVID protocol. And, you know, obviously you hope that he comes back safely and everything. But LeBron, yeah, I mean, sometimes things don't go your way. And sometimes you have to play a little play-in game to have the opportunity to make a deep postseason run. And that's really not the end of the world. And so I think that he'll probably get over it. And honestly, I wouldn't want to play the Lakers in the playoffs anyway, because I'm sure LeBron will be nice and pissed and ready to go. And we'll probably all laugh at this, you know, kind of minor blip on the radar of the defending champs. But yeah, it was an interesting, you know, 90-degree turn for LeBron there.
And I really thought, Josh Planos, the fact that he wanted to introduce that ankle is it doesn't matter if I'm not 100%. And I saw a report from The Score come out on the interweb about how LeBron's going to be dealing with ankle pain throughout the playoffs. I'm like, you're talking to a fan base here in Detroit that watched Zeke, Isaiah Thomas, score 25 on an ankle that he actually rolled. Like, I'm not saying LeBron didn't roll his, but I'm saying, like, Zeke comes back fourth quarter and puts on an absolute show in the postseason and did it. So we're not going to feel, you know, any sort of remorse or sorrow for LeBron, but it's like he has this built-in excuse that if I don't get it done, you know, I hurt my ankle and it cost me all these games, but if I do get it done, ha, I told you I was the best. Look at this. I even had a sprained ankle.
Absolutely. Everything that LeBron says is intentional. This guy has a PR team on top of a PR team on top of another PR team writing his statements, helping him, you know, craft some talking points. There is no way that LeBron didn't intentionally say that. That way he's got this backup plan in case things don't go, you know, according to plan and the Lakers bottom out. This guy's all about legacy, as he should be. You know, really, everybody who talks to LeBron is measuring him up against the greatest who have ever played the sport. And when you have that understanding, you're going to look for every possible way to close off any barbs that can be thrown at your legacy to make you bulletproof. And LeBron is just looking for, I think, an easy out in this situation. I do think it's reasonable to think, for him to think that, you know, you're probably not going to be the same player you were when you were younger, but just the idea that you will never be the same basketball player again because you had a ankle sprain, I think is laughable and intentionally introduced into the media cycle to give him an out if things don't go according to plan this postseason.
He is Josh Planos. Josh, one more thing for you here this weekend. And there is a quite the sizable boxing match that is going to be taking place. It's going to be Canelo Alvarez. And Canelo is one of those guys that, you know, I feel like a lot of times in boxing, we overvalue the undefeated because all the greats fought all the greats when they were great. And all the greats have a loss on their record. There's only one guy that's, you know, finished undefeated. That's Floyd Mayweather. He had a pretty interesting press conference yesterday with Jake Paul, Logan Paul, Luke Paul, one of the Peter John Marion Paul, whoever the hell that guy is, some YouTube guy, but the guy took his hat. Next thing you know, his lip is split and he's, you know, grabbing his face. But anyways, neither here nor there. He's going to fight a guy named Billy Joe Saunders. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, Canelo 54-1-2 with 36 knockouts, holding the WBA and WBC belts. Saunders, by the way, the WBO title holder, he comes into this fight unblemished. And it is it's going to be, you know, 30-0 with 14 knockouts. This is going to be pretty fun and a good opportunity for Saunders to kind of get his name on the map.
Yeah, I mean, this really could be the biggest win in British boxing history. I think truly that that's such a long story tradition. It's enormous in that country. You see what happens anytime there's a fight staged in Wembley. This would be enormous. This is an awkward guy. He's a stylist. He's got great ringsmanship. He's got a good chin. He's got good hands. But he's not really great at anything. And it kind of looks like it could be set up in such a way that he could get smashed to pieces. So I'm gonna keep my fingers crossed for a good fight. It clearly looks like, given his comments about ring size, that he thought he was going to actually fight on a regulation size football field instead of, you know, in a ring. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. And, you know, we'll see what he can do. But Canelo has absolutely dusted every single person that he's been in the ring with for like 7 consecutive years. So let's hope that he can at least go 5 rounds and you know, potentially pull off a shocker. But I would be the most shocked if he was able to somehow wrangle a victory out.
He is Josh Planos. Find him on Twitter at @JPlanos. Josh, my friend, as always, thank you so much for your time, my man. We greatly appreciate it.
Happy to be here. Thanks so much.